And the Chief Executive of the HSE, Paul Reid, is in our Athlone studio. Thanks for joining us again, Paul Reid. You've been listening to representatives of unions for Gardaí and teachers. They argue that because they're more exposed to the virus, they should be at least given a vaccine in parallel with people below the age of 65. They could all be done in a few days, they say. Why not?
Good afternoon, Gavin, and happy Easter to you and all your listeners. I just listened carefully to Antoinette and John just said there. I mean, if you stand back, this is a policy decision by government, ultimately driven by the medical advice from NIAC. It is one which the HSE fully supports because I just set out a few reasons why. Firstly, we just need to remind ourselves what the vaccination programme is about. And it is about reducing illness, sickness, hospitalisations, mortality, ICU. And the way you go about that is firstly addressing the most vulnerable, which is what the programme is about now. And what NIAC have clearly set about is the next most vulnerable approach has to be based on age. And I would just say, I mean, there's some evidence in NIAC's report on it. If you draw a comparison between an age group of 20 to 35 versus those in 60 to 64. If you're in the age group of 60 to 64, you're 5 times more likely to be hospitalised, 20 more times likely to be ICU, and 70 times more likely for mortality. And the final point, Gavin, if I can't say, if you walked in now to any of our doctors, nurses, GPs, medics in nursing homes or in healthcare settings, they too would say to you the experience they've had for the last year would be in line with what the NIAC advice would be about who should be prioritised. So I understand the sentiment. Okay.
The argument made this week by NIAC, by the Taoiseach, by the Minister for Health, and indeed by you just there now, is that if you're, for example, 50 years old, you're 15 times more likely to die of COVID-19 than a 34-year-old. So when will a 50-year-old Garda, running an increased risk every day of getting COVID, get their vaccine now?
Yeah, what I'm happy to say now, if you look forward to the programme between April and May related to your question, first of all, by early next week now, we will have achieved the 1 millionth vaccine completed. And the reality of that is, Gavin, just say, to demonstrate how efficiently we're vaccinating is, we only received deliveries Thursday morning, which gave us capacity to deliver 1 million, and they will be delivered within a few days. So that's firstly. As we reach out into April and May, what we're going to continue to do is complete the programme for the over 70s, go through the programme, which is the next group, which is the medically vulnerable, and we're working through that, which are the high-risk medically vulnerable. We will then be tackling the age group of 65 to 69, and then we will start to move through the new prioritisation based on what NIAC have recommended out. So then moving down to 60s and onwards. So as the programme moves through April, May, and certainly into June, you're now beginning to see it reach really widely into the community. And I think the levels we're at this weekend of our highest day done on Good Friday of over 30,000 really demonstrates to the public that this is ramping up very seriously now.
Teachers, Gardaí, carers, supermarket workers, they've all been told that they'll get a vaccine, like everyone else, you've just repeated that, after the most vulnerable get theirs. When will you be finished vaccinating those most at risk? 38,000 of a group of 250,000 done by Thursday.
Yeah, I mean, what's happening now with the medically vulnerable is we're taking two approaches. Firstly, we're working through with our hospitals and consultants who would know a lot of these patients that have fit the definition set out by NIAC. In parallel with that, we're equally working with the GPs all across the country now to, they may know they will have some of these groups of patients. So it'll be a parallel process running between hospitals and also our GPs. And that programme will run. So we are aiming to get to the group identified in cohort 4 throughout April into early May. But equally now in parallel, we'll be addressing which were cohort 7s, those in a high-risk grouping as well.
Many of the people who say they're most upset by this change of plan point to what happened at the Beacon, and separately the people who skipped the queue and cheated the system to get a vaccine through a portal set up for frontline healthcare workers, as revealed by Craig Hughes and today Michael O'Farrell in the Daily Mail. Now, that portal wasn't closed until the 26th of March. When did you first know there was a problem with the portal?
Well, just to I specifically come to part in a second. Step back from the programme firstly. Our vaccination programme is a programme, like any other country, is primarily based on high levels of trust. And the important thing to say is, from the 1 million people that will be vaccinated this week, it has been demonstrated a high level of trust. And the public are waiting their turn, trusting the programme. Where there have been breaches, and there have been some breaches, and I appreciate the anger, how it's happened. If somebody sends on the detail of the portal to somebody else that is not due to get it, that is breaching the trust. So it's not an IT issue per se. It's a breach of trust by people trying to jump the queue, as you've described it. Now, where we've identified that, where we've addressed it, first of all, we're putting in improved kind of validation processes. As we move towards the wider public, I just reassure your listeners, the portal has different functionality. So it will be clearly able to identify the person because they will be giving us data in advance, data birth, biographical data. The validation process will be stronger because people will have ID coming forward. So there's a very different system as we move out into the public. So where breaches have happened, you know, we don't support them at all, and they've caused us as much frustration as the public. But the highest proportion of those 1 million people who've received vaccination has been in line.
How many cases were there? How many people skipped the queue?
It's what we know to date. If you look at that cohort two, about 230,000 people have received a vaccination. That's dose ones overall. And the reality of that is, I would remarkably say the vast majority of that. You have heard some reported incidents, and we have heard some reported incidents.
Sorry, Paul Reid, do you know how many cases there were? Because I heard you during the week describe the number as marginal, which means I presume you know the number to make that determination. How many cases of people are you aware of that skipped the queue?
Well, we know it for a couple of reasons, Gavin. First of all, if the public can just stand back, and we all stand back from the benefits of the programme, there are hugely benefits in terms of healthcare.
If I could
workers.
Ask you to address the question, please.
Yeah, I don't have a specific number, Gavin, because if you look at the total numbers that we have vaccinated, what we do know is they have primarily fitted into the category of which we want to address. We haven't gone through every single one. Gavin, we're moving this programme at pace, you know, and what we are learning for the frontline healthcare workers, I'll say this up front, there most certainly have been some people who shouldn't have come through in that context. But I'll also say what our hospitals did during this programme in January and February, and it's important to remind people of context, when we were seeing massive outbreaks all across our hospital system, certainly they did go ahead and vaccinate some people who wouldn't necessarily been on the front line, but did pose a huge risk by bringing the transmission levels into the hospital system. So certainly there have been some. Where we have had it, we've strengthened the process around it, but ultimately it has worked. We've reduced transmission levels in our hospital. We've reduced healthcare workers being out sick.
If I was living north of the border, I could book an appointment online today for a vaccine if I'm 45 or older, which I am. When will everyone else here be able to book an appointment for a vaccine?
Yeah, I'm very pleased to say, Gavin, as we do move now to the age base, firstly to 65 to 69-year-olds, which will be done in April, and we will start. That's where the public will have a public communications. The portal will
this
go
month.
Live then, in this month, yes. The portal will go live, to answer your question, where the person will have communications out, register their biographical details on it. They will then be scheduled for their vaccination appointment to a particular centre, location, could be a vaccination centre. They'll be assigned a location to go. They will validate that data back through text or emails, and then they'll be validated when they come. So thankfully and very positively, we're now reaching out to the public, and it's a public portal with a scheduling process on it.
Away from COVID, Paul Reid, we were talking to you last week on the programme about revelations by RTE that the Department of Health was secretly sharing private doctor consultations to build dossiers on children with autism. Have you now identified the clinicians or staff who shared the patient information with the Department of Health?
And what I did say to Gavin last week, and I'll just again state it again, we would take this as really seriously. Patient confidentiality is to the fore of a health system. We have spent this week, firstly, I've briefed our board, the board of the HSC, once we became aware of this. On day two, like myself, take it really seriously. We spent this week trying to identify any cases where that confidentiality would have been breached. We haven't identified it to this. That does not mean we're still very well engaged with all our services. These cases go back some time, apparently back to the mid-2000s.
Okay.
So we're really taking it seriously. We want to know where it happened, but we haven't identified it at this stage.
The Data Protection Commissioner sent officers into the Department of Health this week. Has the HSC made a disclosure to the Data Protection Commissioner yet?
As far as I'm just specifically on this one, no. I mean, I'm only aware of the Data Protection Commissioner and visit to the Department of Health. We're obviously talking to the Department of Health to try understand from our perspective in the HSE as well, if they can help us identify any specific case where this breach may have happened. And that's part of the process we're ongoing.
And is the HSE confident that it has no data protection concerns arising from the RTE report?
I mean, ultimately, if we get any more details, Gavin, whether it's related to the RTE Investigates report or any other data breaches, we will take quite seriously. And we do engage with the Data Protection Commissioner where we have identified a breach. In fact, most recently in a completely separate matter where we would have identified a breach, not on patient confidentiality, but a breach, and we would most certainly identify, if we've identified, notify the Data Protection Commissioner.
Paul Reid, Chief Executive of the HSE in our Athlone studio today. Thank you for speaking to us.